Good morning, Fritz Bergen, 8th of January, 2021. It's been an exciting couple of days. A lot happened on the 6th of January out there in Washington, D.C. You had several hundred thousand people gathering to hear a speech by Donald Trump, and afterwards a few of them got rowdy and they invaded the Capitol building. And you've heard the talking heads talk about that since. Thought I'd give you just a couple thoughts off the top of my head. I was on my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, and I saw somebody post U.S. code such and such, and he called for the immediate arrest of all these people and a denial of employment opportunities for them because they violated this, that, and the other thing for supporting a movement to overturn the United States government. And my first thought to him was, you know what, where were you last summer? Where were you last summer when they were burning the cities in America? Where were you when they were burning Portland down and throwing gasoline bombs into police stations? Where were you when they set up CHOP, the autonomous zone, in Capitol Hill in Seattle? Where were you? Where were you when you had AOC and Ilhan Omar and the Democratic leadership supporting these violent movements? Where were you? Where were you when that happened? Where were you when members of Congress were out there supporting Black Lives Matter and Antifa when they're scrawling on different walls, kill the white people and invade the White House and getting Trump out by any means necessary? Where were you? Where were you? Were you talking about it then? Where were you when all the Democratic congressional leadership were supporting these violent movements all over the United States? Where were you when this happened? Silence? Silence, pretty much silence. And you turn on, unfortunately, I'm exposed to a lot of CNN where I work, and it's nonstop. Violent insurrection. Nancy Pelosi, armed insurrectionists in the Capitol. The only person who was armed were the cops, and the cops put a bullet through the heart of a woman, an unarmed woman right there in the Capitol. They weren't armed. Anyway, it's just the sheer hypocrisy of this. Meanwhile, all summer long, you had people burning down cities in America, and not a word to be said, not a word to be said about it. They're mostly peaceful protesters. And I could turn around and throw that in your teeth and say, hey, yeah, man, these were mostly peaceful protesters. How come you can't have the same kind of courtesy and respect for them as you did for the BLMsters? And the bigger point of this isn't to win the argument, isn't even to convince anybody that my opinion is right or Nancy Pelosi's opinion is right. The bigger takeaway is we are simply not going to come to an agreement on this. That's the bigger takeaway. It's not possible, it's not feasible, it's not foreseeable to think that somehow we're all going to come back together and get along and decide, okay, we can work this out peacefully. That's not in the cards. That's the biggest takeaway from this. The biggest takeaway isn't that the Trump fomented a revolution or that the Democrats have been fomenting revolution all summer. The biggest takeaway is you're not going to resolve this. You're not going to resolve this by normal democratic means. When the vote was stolen, and everybody knows it, when BLM Antifa can violently riot and burn down cities all over America, and they get cover from the mainstream media and the Democrat Party, and when there's a mostly peaceful protest in Washington, D.C., and they're immediately calling for the president's arrest and the arrest of everybody at the demonstration and jail time and impeachment and the 25th Amendment, the takeaway isn't whether one side's right or wrong. The big takeaway is this will not be resolved by voting harder. It will not be resolved by voting harder. It will not be resolved by demonstrating harder, by raising our voices harder, by campaigning harder. Immediately you saw a number of Republicans surrender, which was what Republicans do. That's what the Republicans do. That's their place in the political realm. It's to raise a flag of resistance towards the onslaught of the left, towards the onslaught of the Borg, of the leftist movement that's been going on since forever. and then immediately surrender. Immediately wave the white flag and surrender. Say, well, we tried, but we have to respect the democratic process and surrender. And then claim they're a good conservative or a good Republican, and they march on and they make their millions of dollars as Republican congressmen and senators. And the country continues and continues and continues to decay and slide to the left, such that we have a $28 trillion deficit. 1980, it was $1 trillion. And, you know, but that conversation's over too. I mean, the decisions have been made. Deficits don't matter. We're going to print money into eternity. As a historian, you know, my opinion is, look, we've done this before many, many times over the history of the world. You know, Rome, Germany, whatever. And it ends in hyperinflation. It ends in the debasement of the currency, and there's profound social and political consequences to that. And that's playing out in our lives, and it will continue to go. There is good news in this. There is a lot of good news in this. And the good news is that the blinders have come off. What the system has done, the system has preserved its own legitimacy in the eyes of most voters by offering the illusion of consent. There's been the illusion of consent by the powers that run this country, by permitting people in some limited fashion to go out and vote every 2 to 4 years. And, you know, that way people say, oh, well, we voted, we lost, so we'll follow the rules and we'll just get along and go along. If you've noticed the political trends over several generations, it's a constant slip to the left. It's a constant undermining of what was the middle class. It's a constant outsourcing of jobs and industry outside of the United States. It's a constant debasement of the currency. It's a constant debasement of morality. It's a constant debasement of the ethnic makeup that was the United States 50, 100, 200, 400 years ago. And I understand that they've got their earthly paradise that they're trying to create, but they're creating an earthly hell. And it's not going to be solved by voting harder next time. It's not going to be solved by lobbying your congressman harder next time. This has to come down. It has to be something really deep. And I think the American people on my side of the situation, we understand now very, very clearly the system that has been created. It's the illusion of consent is a bubble that has been burst. The illusion that they've been able to paste over our eyes, that somehow we participate in our own government, has been utterly burst. The hypocrisy of the Democrats has been utterly burst. The hypocrisy of the mainstream media is gone. You can't watch CNN without shuddering and going, how can you say this? How can you say this with a straight face? How can you lie through your teeth about all this? You have Antifa, BLM, burning down cities across America, setting up autonomous zones, shooting people, throwing gas bombs into police stations. And you're going to sit there and say that this was a mostly peaceful demonstration, giving voice to the voiceless. And then you got Washington, D.C., January 6, 2020, and you are losing your minds, CNN, Democrat Party. You're losing your freaking minds. So the biggest good news is that the illusion of consent is gone. Half of America has woken up, and we've realized it doesn't matter what you say, you're liars. We don't have a voice. We don't have a say in the system. We voted for Donald Trump. We put him into office. And we spent 4 years listening to the left and the mainstream media and the CNNs prattle on about his corruption when it was really on the side of Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, and everybody else that you're covering for. We watched how the FBI did everything they can to cover up and hide the crimes of the Clintons and the Bidens. And a lot of other people that are involved with that. Yet they're inventing crimes that supposedly Trump did. And Mueller investigates them for 3 years and there's nothing there. We listen to Rachel Maddow on TV every night saying, any day now, any day now, the bomb will come, and we'll see how the Russians have subverted the election of 2016. Nothing ever happened. It was never there. And yet, when we've got massive evidence of the voting fraud that happened on November 3rd, and the Democrats were very open about it, they talked about their transition integrity project, how they would never concede, and how they would stuff the ballot box with absentee ballots. And not a word is raised about it. So you want to talk about giving voice to the voiceless? That's the one thing Donald Trump did. And there's a great meme out there, and it's Donald Trump. He's sort of looking out from the picture. He says, it's not me they're after. They're after you. They just got to get through me. And I think nothing could be clearer in the days since November 6th than that statement. It's not Trump that they're after. It's everybody that voted for Trump. It's everybody that said, you know, we've been the voiceless. We've been the ones that have been trying to get our voice heard, and it's ignored. Finally, we have enough votes to get the man into office, and the system does nothing but undermine him and accuse him and lie about him and try to kick him out of office. Impeach the guy. And to make sure that he lost in the 2020 elections, we're going to undermine the whole Democrat. It's not the Republicans that undermine the Democratic process. It's the Democrat Party and the Democrat operatives, with the full knowledge and consent of all the conventional Democrat leaders, Obama, Holder, Clinton, Biden, you name it. They know what they're doing. And it's been open. Mainstream media knows what they're doing. It's been open. They don't care. So the big takeaway is I think a sleeping giant has been awakened. Trump is not the problem for the left. Trump is really not there. He's a symbol of the problem. The problem is there's 80 million Americans that don't want what Biden and Harris offer. And it's we've been saying this for generations now, and it's been ignored. And all of the institutions have been taken over by the left, starting with the universities. There's not a voter in the United States has any say whatsoever in the policies on a university campus or what the professors teach. And they've been taken over by this globalist cult, this leftist globalist cult. And the professors are the high priests and professors of this globalist cult. And nobody has any say in what they teach. Except that the pressure groups in the universities will make sure that the only people that teach are the people that push this global left-wing cult, where there is no male, there is no female, there is no borders, there are no Americans, and that white people are evil, which I talked about last time. Harvard University is pushing that hard. Harvard Review Magazine, Professor Noel Ignatieff, it has infested our universities. And then, of course, the universities train everybody in the whole country. They train our school teachers who train our children. And they train the bureaucrats. They train the police officers. They train the bankers and the lawyers and the attorneys and the judges. And so we already live in a theocracy. We already live in a theocracy where you get the cult leaders running the show. So if you want a theocracy, you've got it. If you don't like it, you've already got it. And I've mentioned before, Jesus Christ lived in a totalitarian dictatorship where you had the Jews controlling everybody through fear. That's what you've got today in the United States. You've got these social justice warriors, self-righteous and hypocritical, threatening people if they disobey some little precept or tradition that they have. And threatening to cast them out of the synagogue, depersoning them. And their hair is on fire. They're going wild right now. They're going wild. Anybody that supports Trump, we got to go after him. Throw him in jail. Jesus Christ faced off with that. And eventually they got him. They murdered him. They murdered him, but he rose from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's rebel leader number one. So the good news is that the illusion of consent has been, that bubble has burst. The 80 million of us understand that we have no say in the system, that it's rigged, that it's gamed against us, that our votes really don't matter. Our votes don't matter. If we vote wrong, they rig the elections. If we vote wrong, they get a judge to overturn it. And so we've gone through the peaceful process. We've voted harder. We've written our congressman. We've published our letters. We've said what we've had to say. And the answer is we're illegitimate. We're irredeemable. We're deplorable. We're insurrectionists. And we ought to be thrown in jail. So where does that leave us? Where's the democratic valve to release our political instincts? And the answer is there is none. It's been shut down. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? It leaves us in a situation where operating within the system has demonstrably failed. Their idea of operating in the system is vote and keep. It's that we keep voting and we keep losing. That's operating in the system to them. Even if we win, even if we have a majority of the votes, even if we vote in every single state that marriage is between a male and a female only, they say, well, we got to end run around you. We got a judge somewhere. And well, the judge will come out with a stroke of his pen and say, nope, that's illegal. Your vote doesn't matter. So the bubble of democracy has been burst. We understand that. We voted for Donald Trump in 2016, and it's been 1 week after the next of some way to undermine him and prevent him from carrying out what we elected him to carry out, regardless of whether he's a good man or not. This isn't about salacious tales and whatnot. We have no interest in this country being inundated by non-Americans. We really don't. We built something special here. Our ancestors built something special here. We're going to keep that. We owe that to our ancestors. We owe that to our offspring. Not going to apologize for that. You can call me the R word all you want. Not going to apologize. That word has no more effect on me. Has no more effect on 80 million Americans. You can bite it. You can chew on it. You can swallow it. We don't care. Call me the R word. That's gone. It's gone as a power word over our lives. And that's the biggest threat. That's the good news. People finally have woken up and realized that. You can call me a racist all you want. It's not a word that I have any respect for. It's not a real word. It's a word of moral manipulation, of guilt manipulation. It's guilt manipulation. It's false accusations. It's exactly what they did to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ heals a man on a Sunday, and they see right through that. They can't even see the fact that he healed a guy, a blind man. And they say, well, you did it on a Sunday, and that's against the law. So we need to seize you and kill you. Jesus Christ heals a man, never walked in his whole life, never walked, laying on a pallet. Jesus Christ said, stand up, take up your pallet and walk. The Jews, the Pharisees looked at that. They couldn't see the fact that he healed a man, couldn't see that. They said, well, you did it on a Sunday. Seize him, we need to kill him. And that's the situation you have in the United States today. It doesn't matter. The Ten Commandments on the walls of every schoolhouse were a good thing. They were a good thing. And you had the Pharisees saying, well, nope, it's illegal. You got to take them down. And that's the situation we're at. Marriage between a man and a woman only is a good thing. Nope, you can't have that. And so they destroy the goodness, and it eats away. And then you teach the children. Then you teach the children in grade school that sodomy is okay. That's child abuse. That's child abuse. The institutions of public education have become institutions of child abuse, and we can't raise our voice against it because we're racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, is anti-Semitic. We can't say a word against it because you're going to burden us with your accusations and your sins that are no sins. Here's the good news. The good news is we know what's going on now. That's the good news. The good news is we're finally waking up and you're saying, why do we allow ourselves to be led around by the nose, beaten with these cudgels of false accusations, of beaten with these burdens of sins that are not sins at all? It is not a sin to object to sodomy. In fact, that's righteousness. And it's not a sin to say, you know what, this is my land for my people. That's honoring your father and mother. That's righteousness. When Jesus Christ confronted the Pharisees, he confronted the Jews, and they were harassing him about violating some little law, Jesus Christ looked him right in the face. He said, you know what? You've come out with all your little ideas, all your little regulations, all your little legalese, and you undermine the foundation, which is to honor your ancestors. Jesus Christ said, you honor your father and mother. One of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus Christ said, all these little rules you have, you can't be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, and you undermine the law, which says, honor your father and mother. And when you honor your ancestors and your bloodline, going back to Japheth and Noah, you honor your father and mother. And all these little liars, all these little Pharisees, all these little accusers want to manipulate you and guilt manipulate you and drive you like sheep off the cliff. And that's exactly what they've done in the United States. Jesus Christ came to set you free from the Pharisees, from the social justice warriors. Stand up, be proud. Be proud of your ancestors. Don't apologize. Don't you dare apologize for your ancestors. Don't you ever do that. You be proud of your bloodline. And you defend your bloodline, you defend the honor of your ancestors and the honor of your offspring. We're going to build a Christian nation. And for those of you afraid of a theocracy, you already live in one. You live in a cult. You live in a giant cult where cult leaders accuse you and they incite you to self-destruction. That's what cult leaders do. That's what a cult does. And if you dare leave, then they really come after you because you dare question the cult leader. United States, all those folks on the left, from the university professors, through the schools, through the major corporations, Democrat Party, and the majority of the Republican Party. It's a cult. It's a giant cult. Get out of the cult. You don't need to be in the cult. You can quit the cult. I quit the cult. You can quit the cult. Jesus Christ came to set you free. The just shall live by faith. We have a king. His name is Jesus Christ. No apologies. We're going to build a Christian country right here in North America. By God, we shall. We're going to build a Christian country right here in North America. We're not going to apologize. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to make it comfortable for the antichrists. And you can howl. You can scream. You can call me your dirty names. You can call me racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. You knock yourself out. We're going to build a country loyal to our king, loyal to Jesus Christ. We're going to honor the Sabbath, a Sunday Sabbath. We're going to honor the Sabbath as the day that Jesus Christ, our king, rose from the dead. Jesus Christ, the king. He's the king of every bloodline. He's the king of every race. He's not just the king of the Jews. He's the king of every nation. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we will establish a Christian nation here in North America to honor explicitly Jesus Christ. We will have the cross of Jesus Christ on our flag. We will not apologize for that. Marriage will be legal only between a male and a female. And for those of you saying, I don't want anybody imposing their morality on me, where do you think you live, man? When have you ever opened up your mouth in your workplace or your school and said things like this? The answer is you don't, because you're afraid of the Jews. And when I use that phrase, afraid of the Jews, it's a direct reference to the book of John, where over and over and over, people kept their mouth shut because, quote, they were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of the people burdening them with sins that were no sins, with regulations that were not law, with accusations that were meaningless, that had no basis in the Word of God. And when people come out and they say in the workplace or your school place, you can't be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, or divisive, they are the utter hypocrites of the theocracy that you already live in. You already live in that theocracy, that cult. I'm offering you freedom. I'm giving you freedom, man. Jesus Christ said, get off your knees, man. The just shall live by faith. Let me tell you something. The Ten Commandments is a lot less onerous than that nonsense you're living under now, where you are terrified of the social justice warriors in your workplace, in your school. It's exact comparison to what we see in the book of John that Jesus Christ faced. He comes out, he speaks his peace, he speaks openly, he says the truth, and boom, they tried to trap him in his words, and they're going to seize him and kill him because he dare violated their little sins that are no sins at all. Racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. And, of course, eventually they murdered him. The Jews murdered Jesus Christ. Go read the book of John over and over and over. I covered that in a podcast a few days back. I've covered it many times. So I have articles at Blood and Faith on that. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He says he can't overcome me. So we follow rebel leader number one. Rebel leader number one. He's our guy. Jesus Christ is king. We're going to build a Christian nation in North America. We've seen that this political system is controlled by the cult. It will never recognize us. It will never accede to our interests, our demands. It will never embrace truth. It will never embrace the Word of God. It will never embrace Jesus Christ as King. Who's your King, guys? Hey, hello, Christians. Who's your King? Is it Jesus Christ or not? Or is he just a little symbol that you dangle around your neck? Are you Judeo-Christian or are you a Christian? We got to build a Christian nation here in North America. There's no other way. We owe that to our ancestors. We owe that to our offspring. Most of all, we owe that to our King. We owe that to our King, Jesus Christ. Yes, in this life, in this world, we will build a Christian nation that it may be a light unto the nations, that the other nations may say, wow, how do you have laws so good and a society so righteous? Let's go and find out what this Christian nation is doing. And we've forsaken that. This is part of the gospel. This is part of evangelism. It's not just the one-off. The church has got so wrapped up in converting one person and then throwing them back into the den of wolves, and you wonder why you can't raise generations of Christian offspring. Build a Christian nation, a Christian country, where the institutions are explicitly and unapologetically Christian, based on the Greek and the Hebrew scriptures. And you say, I don't want that. I don't want to live under an oppressive theocracy. You've already got that, guys. You've already got that. And look how bad it is. I'm trying to set you free, trying to lead you into freedom. You serve God or you serve Satan, and Satan's a much worse totalitarian dictator. Jesus Christ said, take my yoke upon you. My burden's light. In the Hebrew scripture, it says you've cast off the yoke of wood, and you've made for yourselves a yoke of iron. Building Christian nations. Fritz Berggren, 8th of January, 2021. Come see me, bloodandfaith.com. Out for now.